Walking in sunlight, all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Alleluia, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and God. He is the light, in him is no darkness, ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Alleluia, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above. Singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Alleluia, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Thomas Village Baptist Church Sunday morning service. We want to welcome you here live from the parking lot, and then also those on Facebook. We want to welcome you as well. I hope you've come here this morning with heart to want to worship the Lord, and we appreciate your prayers. Our audio man, Mr. Flannery, is on vacation this week, and it's been a challenge this morning, so we want to be thank the Lord that Ken's here. And put this together. But a few announcements before we get started this morning in our service and as we continue on. Awana will be going on this fall. That school has opened up, and they're going to have a kickoff drive-through next Sunday. And so just be in prayer for that. They're going to do a sign-up. You will be required to wear a mask if you come in to sign up here out front under the tent. And you'll be looking for updates on Facebook on our Facebook page for the Awana program. And then also tonight, we will be just only having the Facebook live service. So there won't be anything set up here in the parking lot tonight. So you can tune in on via Facebook and watch Brian this evening. Next Sunday morning, we'll be having a special prayer service. So we're going to invite everyone. We're not going to ask everyone to leave their vehicle, but continue to maintain social distancing. And we're going to have a prayer to pray for unity and wisdom, and also that and for the upcoming Awana Club program. And then also, too, the deacons met this past week, and we are working towards bringing. Probably we're looking to October the 3rd to be able to reopen the sanctuary, and we're going to be able to provide you the ability to either come here and listen in the parking lot, come into the sanctuary. We'll have certain guidelines that you guys will be receiving. A copy of those on is social distancing, also wearing a mask inside. We'll continue to broadcast on 88.1 if you wish to stay in your car. So we're going to be able to give those options. So be very prayerful and very hopeful that we're going to be able to get that done. Again, we're going to look to start that on October the 3rd, that Sunday. And again, during the prayer service next week, you can stay in your car. And then also, too, we've got our Sunday school literature here to my right here. So if you want, as you finish, Scott and JC will be over here. And if you want to pull up, they'll give you your study book for this coming quarter. And so just let them know what class you've been attending. We'll get that. And then we also still have quite a few of the devotionals left if you would like to take one of those and give to a friend or a family member or someone you would like to give. So with that, that's all the announcements. If you would, let's bow our head, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get prepared for Brother Brian's service this morning as he brings a message. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do come before you thankful that we can be here, Lord, and I thank you for those that are in attendance here in the parking lot and those watching on Facebook. We have many, Lord, that are upon our hearts that are having problems, Lord, with their health. And we just ask you to touch them, Lord, and that you would just guide and direct them, and you would be with the doctors as they tend and care for them. We pray for our country, Lord, that you would just draw us near. This is a time, more than any, Lord, that we need to be focused upon you. And I pray, Lord, that everyone in attendance and everyone watching on Facebook takes time during the day to spend some time with you reading your word, Lord, and that they're prayerful and they're hopeful, Lord, seeking to grow their relationship with you. And as I heard in a message this week, Lord, as I was traveling, Lord, just help us to focus upon you. Help us to focus and put our personal relationship first with you. And if we would all do that, Lord, we know that the great things would happen, that it would be a revival, that we would be dedicated to your word. And we pray that, Lord, that that happens. We ask you now, Lord, that you just bless our service. Be with those that can't be here or those that are traveling. We ask you to be with our school systems, Lord, as they work through these issues and through these situations. And we know that you bless our country, Lord, but we just ask you to touch our leaders, that you would draw them close to you, and that they would turn, Lord, and seek you in prayer and through reading your word before they make decisions for our country, Lord. And again, we thank you most of all for your son, Jesus Christ. In his name we do pray. Amen.
Brian said the songs were going to be a weather report this morning. We went from heavenly sunlight, and now we're going to sing There Shall Be Showers of Blessing. So, and there may be some showers this afternoon, so this is your weather report for the day. So There Shall Be Showers of Blessing. Showers of blessing, this is the promise of love. There's seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing. Come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Is the feed on my page, or is it on the Thomas Village page? All right. Well, everybody, if you're text on there that they might want to, put on the Thomas Village, if you can go to Thomas Village, tell them to go to Brian Gunner. And I don't know. This just tells you how ignorant I am when it comes to dealing with electronics and all that. I do want to thank Amy for singing this morning. Brother Ken's out of town, and Brother Gary is a little bit under the weather today. Is it echoing to y'all? Has it got a little reverb in it? We need to turn down, turn up, anything like that. Hello, good to see y'all. This morning we're going to be in the book of Psalms, chapter 92. Psalms, chapter 92. But as you heard, Brother Frank announcing, we've got some things that's beginning to kind of kick off, and I'm really looking forward to the Awana kickoff drive-through party next week. Looking forward, Brother Wayne and Sister Tammy and the other workers, as you're turning to Psalms 92, have been doing a lot of effort to get ready. They've been at it for at least a month to a month and a half for just this time. And then also, as you heard, we're doing our best right now to get us back into the pews of Thomas Village. But to be honest with you, you know, in our region, in our area, many of the group outbreaks have been from churches and issues like that. And so we're maybe going too far, maybe bending over a little bit too far backwards, but we're doing our best to make sure that, one, when we open the doors back up, everybody's going to be safe. And two, that we're not going to have to close them again. That's what we're trying to do. We're going to probably be offering anywhere from 4 to 5 different options for you to be with us in service on Sunday morning. And if you are in a place to where you can't wear a mask medically for medical reasons, we're doing our best to have that took care of too. We are trying and trying our best. And that's one reason why we're meeting next week is having that special prayer service as you're turning to Psalms 92. And that is because as your pastor and your deacons, we want to act wisely. We want to do what's right. We recognize the need for fellowship and unity, but we don't want to put anybody in jeopardy more than needs to be. And then also, we're looking at some more things that maybe electronically we're going to be able to help you navigate Thomas Village Baptist Church and to be a part and to be more involved in the worship and community, family, that is Thomas Village Baptist Church. So I'm thankful to be here today. It is a little warm, so I'm going to go ahead and come out of this jacket and get out of it. I thought just a tie would do it. But again, if you know somebody who might be watching us on a regular basis, maybe send them a text and say go to Brian Gunner's Facebook page for today, and it'll be on there. I thought I had linked in on the Thomas Village, but I'd put it on mine. But if you have your Bibles with you today, Psalms 92. If I had a title for this morning's message, it would be Fresh Oil. And I guess it's been almost 3 months now, at least 2 months, that I've been preaching out of the Gospels. And so this is the first time in almost 2 months that I've not preached from the gospel, but the one of the four gospels. But I pray today that you'll hear with the heart and the ear of the Holy Spirit today. And I think all of us, this can affect all of us, and I think all of us will need this. So if I had a title for this morning's message, it would simply be Fresh Oil. Beginning in Psalms 92, verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon a psaltery and upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn that shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn, and I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall spring forth fruit in the old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and in Him, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Fresh oil. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this day. God, I thank You for the ups and the downs. I thank You for the things that maybe aren't even going the way we want them to go so far today. But God, You're still able and You're still in control and You still have a plan and a purpose in what You're doing. And so God, right now I just invite You, sweet person of the Holy Spirit, to come and be a part of this service. Lord, You know that in and of ourselves, if we're just meeting here out of tradition or even simple religion, then Heavenly Father, Lord, we are doing no good and just wasting time. But God, if Your Holy Spirit, if You, person of the Holy Spirit, will come today and take Your word and You'll divide it and rightly teach us with it, then Lord, we've been doing something that will benefit us throughout all eternity. And Lord, You said that You're looking for those that will worship You in truth and in spirit. And so Lord, today I confess to You that I'm a sinner. I confess to You that there's nothing good or worthy or right about me. I ask You to forgive me of my sins. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that now You fill me and enable me for the task at hand. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. As we always try to remind you, if you don't remember anything, hello, Facebook. I pray you found us. We're just kind of scavenger hunt today. We want you to have a little something to do this morning. Nah, we're just playing. But if you don't remember anything about today's message, remember these three things. That nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let Him today, He'll do even greater things than you will ever imagine. Fresh oil. A couple of weeks ago, one of our faithful and committed members here at Thomas Village Baptist Church came up one day when she saw my truck here and pulled up and was wanting one of our devotional books. And I looked around, and sister, we do have them, so stop by and I'll have one put up for you. But I didn't know where they were. Well, we kept within the social distancing, but we came out here and we sat on the porch and we talked about the situation and the difficulties and the unknown and when will it be over and all this mess. You know, you've had the conversations. And then as we were leaving, I basically said something, well, you know, I'm just sick and tired of it. And she looked back at me and she said this, I'm just tired. I'm just tired. Meaning that everything, all that's going on around us right now, from the pandemic and the COVID and the corona and all that, to the division and fussing of our politicians and everything going on there and the dividedness we have there, the violence in our society, not knowing what the next thing's going to happen that's going to spark a city being burned down or something like that. And then on top of all of that, each and every one of us, we have our own family issues. We have our own things that we're going to. And this is the thing, that we are in a season of time. And praise God, the good thing is it's not going to last. It's going to change. But this season is like a weight that's been placed upon our backs. It is just a heaviness upon us. And I think that whether you're a Christian and you serve God, or whether you don't even know anything, that in America right now, there is just a weight that is on our country, a burden that is on our country. And it's heavenly. I mean, it's heavy. And it drains on us. And I'll just be honest with you as well. I feel that tiredness. I feel that drain. I feel it physically. Well, running around trying to make sure everything's done right, and you get halfway to the store and have to go back and get your mask and all that different stuff. You have to schedule your doctor's appointments in a certain way. I mean, it just gets weighing on you physically, but then there is that emotionally as well. You're on a peak one day, things look like they're getting better, and then you hear some other numbers and some other things, and you're right back down in the valley. And then there's the spiritual aspect of it. I mean, even those of us who are close to the Lord and want to do our best to live Him, we look around and we don't understand, and it's just confusing everything we see. And we are in a season of tiredness. We're in a season of weightiness. And I'd say that if we were in the church, or those of you in the parking lot, those of you on Facebook, you would probably give me one of the biggest amens to that statement, that it is just a season that is getting us tired and wearing us out. But you know, God told us the fact that there was going to be seasons that make us tired. He told us, He made it clear over in Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. It says, "Be ye not weary," in the King James, but in the Christian Standard it says, "We must not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, we must work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of the faith." He's saying there's going to be times where the work gets heavy. It's going to drain on us physically. It's going to drain on us emotionally. It's going to drain on us spiritually. But He's saying, in the midst of this, don't get so tired that you quit. Recognize what's going on and continue on in spite of the difficulty. Continue on doing what is good for the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, "Brothers and sisters, do not grow weary," or "do not grow tired in doing good." Now, when it comes to Psalms 92, I could not find exactly who the author was. Some try to even say it was Adam. However, Charles Spurgeon says this about Psalms 92. And it says, "This is an admirable composition of seriousness and joy. It is a song that is meant to be sung on the Sabbath, on the day of rest, or as we would say, the day of rest and worship. The subject is God and the joy of us resting in His hands. The style is worthy of the theme, the fountain of blessing." That's why I asked Amy to sing that song. No psalm has been more sung on the Lord's Day than Psalms 92. And that comes from Christianity.com, that this is a valued psalm. But part of this psalm has rung out in my head for a few weeks now. I didn't know where actually it was. I just knew the verse, you know, in my head. And that specifically is there in Psalms 92, verse 10. "But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." Now, in everyday language, it would be this: "You," talking to God, "you have lifted up my head like that of an ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil." And I want to spend some time and I want to talk about the need that you and I have today to receive the fresh oil. But also, I want to talk about what the psalmist is saying there, the promise. Remember, he said, "I will be anointed with fresh oil. You have lifted up my head like that of an ox." And I want us to talk about the fact that today, you know how it says over in the book of Isaiah that those who wait upon the Lord shall be renewed in strength. They shall mount up like wings, like eagles. They shall walk and not grow weary. Praise God, we have a spirit, supernatural source that today, if we're willing to seek it and receive it, not saying that the tiredness is going to magically go away, but there's going to be something that rises up within us that gives us the ability to press on in a season of darkness, to press on underneath the weight of this pandemic, to press on in all the confusion and the unknowns. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit that moved on our Lord Jesus Christ's body on the third day and rose Him up from the dead. Praise God, today, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that same Spirit is alive and well in you today. And if we can learn how to get out of the way, it will rise up within us and do great and mighty things for the glory of our Father. Amen. Somebody honk a horn if you like that, okay? All right. That's enough. No more. No, I'm just cutting up. I'm cutting up. But praise God today, we can be anointed with fresh oil. But you know me. I can't just cherry pick one verse and build a whole sermon on that. I don't think that's wise. I don't think it's biblical to do that. So we got to look at the wholeness of this passage. We got to consider how it falls within the text of the Scripture. Look there in verses 1 through 3. My goodness, I'm sweating. Look there in verses 1 through 3. It is good to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your faithful love in the morning and your faithfulness at night with a song, with a 10-string harp and the music of a lyre, or basically a big harp and a portable harp. We need to be praising Him. But look what he says here. The writer is saying simply this. It's a simple truth, but it's a powerful truth. He says it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. When he says that it is a good thing, he means that it is the correct and morally proper thing to do to exalt and acknowledge our Creator who is the Most High. I'm going to tell you what, all this that's going on around us right now, all the sickness, all the chaos, all the social and cultural disorder, what it is it an attempt of the devil partially to get our eyes off our Creator. And that in the midst of all that's going on, He's still worthy of praise. He's still worthy of our thanksgiving. He's still worthy of us lifting Him up. If you remember all the way back in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve was made, they were made for basically one thing: for interaction with their Creator and to worship their Creator and to love Him. Christian, that is our main duty today. But I'm going to be honest with you. With everything's going on around us, it sometimes falls by the wayside. That I just make time to do the good, the greatest thing that I could do, and that is to acknowledge my Creator. But not only does he say that it's morally right, or the correct thing to do, it also means that it is beneficial. When he says it is a good thing, he means that it is a beneficial and a valuable thing for the one who does it. For the person that takes time out of their day and simply says, for these next 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, all I'm going to do is focus on you. All I'm going to do is lift up your holy name. The writer is saying that it is a valuable and worthwhile thing to the individual, meaning that it is profitable to us. We gain something out of it when we worship the Lord. Look what he says, it's a good thing to give thanks, meaning that it is a good thing to declare publicly the character and the quality of our God. You don't know what to pray sometimes? Then just start by saying, God, you are good. God, you are holy. God, you are righteous. God, you are perfect. God, you are beautiful. There is no fault to be found in you. Just go on and name the characteristics of the true and living God. And thank Him that He is all of that. Also, it says that we are to declare His faithful love, or His steadfast love. That means that by Him we are loved with a love that is unmoving unchanging and never ending, and that He is devoted to you and I today just as much as He was devoted to us when He laid His hands down on the cross. You don't know what to pray for? Pray for God. I'm thankful that You're devoted to me today. I'm thankful that You're looking down on me with favor today. I'm thankful that I've got clothes on my back. I'm thankful. You know why? Because all of that He's given to us because He loves us. It goes on to say that we're to acknowledge His faithfulness, meaning that He is trustworthy and He's never let us down. Now, we might come up with some plans and some schemes that we think God ought to do it this way, but I promise you, God has never failed you. He has never failed me. And if we want to just go even further, God has never failed, period. Never. There's nothing He needs to apologize for. Nothing He needs to say, I wish I could do that over again. He does all things well. Basically, as He says there in verse 1, to sing praises to the Most High. That is, in the midst of this time, if we, those of us who are tired, and if we want to get that fresh oil, if we want to receive that fresh anointing, then we've got to be willing, no matter the season, no matter what's going on, we've got to be willing to give thanks to the name of God. And we got to be willing to take time to go before Him and to tell Him how thankful we are for Him. You probably, like me, were thinking like this. Well, preacher, I know I should, but look around. It's hard. I'm down. I'm depressed. I'm stressed out. I'm tired. I'm just going to be honest with you, preacher. I don't feel like having praise and worship time. And I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and this is two words. So what? So what? We don't go by a feeling as believers. We don't live by a feeling. That's the problem in a lot of people's lives, is we're controlled by our emotions. Praise God, I'd say every morning you wake up, you don't feel like going to work, but you do. Why? Because it's the good thing to do. It's the profitable thing to do. How much more is it that we, who are His children, who have experienced the greatest love and forgiveness of all, that even though our physical being may not feel like it, our spiritual man will say, it is a good thing to give thanks. And you know what? Even in terrible times, we're still to give thanks. Listen, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, He didn't say you had to thank God for the coronavirus. He didn't say you had to thank God for division and cultural and societal unrest, but He said in the midst of all of it, you're still to give thanks to me. You're still to praise my holy name. You've probably heard something like this. Probably said it was a Bible verse. The Lord inhabits the praises of His people. Well, that's nowhere in the Bible. But it comes from this verse, Psalms 22:3. It says, yet you are holy, enthroned, or meaning that you dwell in the praises of Israel. So if you break that down to a personal level, then it does say that the Lord inhabits the praises of His people, that He dwells there. And I'm going to tell you what, there's something that happens to us. Pray for my throat, it's doing it again. There is something that happens to us when we come into the presence of God that we don't get anywhere else. Something that moves within us, and it is the power and the presence of God. Listen, the Bible says in Matthew 18:20, it says, where two or more are gathered, there I shall be in the midst. But I believe in the Old Testament, we see a picture of how it affects us when we come into the presence of the true and living God. Something happens. Over in Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 and 35. Listen, it says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he was talking with God. And then in verse 35 it says, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses,
that the skin of Moses' face was shining, and Moses would put a veil over his face until he went to speak with God. I'm going to tell you this. They've been older men in my life that God has put in my life. And I tell you, there's something special about those men. They had an aura. They had a glow around them. But I know something about their life as well. They spent hours and hours alone in a prayer closet and praying. And when they came out, the presence of God was upon them. You could feel it when you were in their presence. You could see it in their countenance. And today, if we want to lose that tiredness and that heaviness, if we want it to be overwhelmed by something greater, then we need to take time and recognize that it is a good thing to give praise, thanks, glory, and honor to the Most High. Amen? Now, let's move on to the last part, the results of what happens. There in verses 12 through 15, it says, the righteous thrive like a palm tree that grows in a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They thrive in the courts of God. They shall bear fruit in their old age, and they shall be fat and flourishing. Now, today we would not call being fat healthy, but if you look up the word there, it means when it says fat, it means that they will be healthy. And when it says flourishing, it means that they will have vitality, meaning that they will have health and energy. They will produce fruit. Verse 15, to declare the Lord is just. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Do you recognize today that even though everything around us seems to be going to squat and pot or whatever, seems to be the worst it should be, that we who are believers and the church universal and the church local should still be growing? We should. Now, I'm not talking about numerically, but I'm talking about spiritually. I'm getting out of the camera. I got to move back. We should be growing ever. Us growing does not depend on the environment around us. You understand that? The Bible says we have living waters flowing out of us. We have food to eat at any time in the dry seasons. You see, we should still be growing. We should be fat and flourishing when all else is lean and dying. I had somebody tell me this week about a man. He was an older man. He was in the hospital. Things were looking bad for him, and it was told to me as a true story. The doctors were trying to do everything. His family was praying for him, and they went to him, and they asked him, do you want to be on a ventilator? And he looked at them and said, no, I need to get out of this body. Do you know how much time alone with God, and how much praise, prayer, and study it takes to get to the point where you can say, I'm ready to leave this body and go on to the next realm, to the best realm? That man was growing. And even though his physical body was ready to pass on, spiritually he was fat and he was flourishing. He was healthy, and he was vital, and he was ready to go to graduation and to move on from this grade into the highest of grades. How can they do that? Because the Spirit is alive within him. And that's us. How do we grow in the midst of this? How do we sing praises? How do we do all this? We do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but when you look through Scripture, well, let's look there in verses 92, verses 5 through 9. It says, how magnificent are your works, O Lord. How profound are your thoughts. A stupid person does not know them. A foolish person does not understand them. The thoughts of the wicked sprout like grass. Many evildoers prosper. But you, O Lord, are exalted forever. For indeed your enemies will perish. Listen, he's talking about how the evil ones, the ones that have no care about God, they seem the one that's benefiting. That's like the world we live in. It seems like the people who are the most disgusting, the most irreverent, the most unlovable type people, they're the ones that get all the fame and all that stuff. We see all this going on. I kind of feel like what he says there in verse 6, like the stupid person or the fool, because I look around and I'm like, some of this stuff just don't make a lick of sense to me. But notice, when he's talking about that, he's talking about evildoers and that their end will come. But look what he says, because when we look at these times, really and truly, even as believers, we just kind of like, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm doing my best to trust you, but what are you doing? But look what he says. He says, how magnificent are your ways. The word magnificent there means impressive, large, exceptional, but complicated to the human mind. Meaning that it is big, it's beautiful, it's right, but our minds cannot grasp it. It's beyond our understanding. What God is doing, the human mind can't take it. We can't fathom it. But look there. And he goes on to say, and your thoughts are profound, meaning that your thoughts are intense with intellectual depth. And no human mind has the ability to apprehend or conceive the way you're working out your plan. But in the midst of all that, and he's saying, man, your thoughts are profound, your ways are magnificent. I watch the evildoers around me, and they seem like they're springing up and all that. But then he says, but in verse 8, I am reminded that you are elevated above all, and you are the ultimate supreme. He's saying, I'm going to be willing to trust you in the midst of this. I'm going to be willing to let you take control. You see? Praise and worship, talking about fresh oil, a reviving. I'm going to praise you and I'm going to give thanks. I look around and I see things and it doesn't make sense, but your ways are marvelous and your thoughts are profound. And the evil, they're going to get their reward one day. And listen, right here's the verse that has stood out with me all week. Verses 10 through 11. He says, you, talking to God, have lifted up my horn like that of a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Or if you look up the word fresh, it can also mean the finest or the most pricely of all oils. My eyes look on my evil enemies when evildoers rise up against me, and I will hear them. Now notice, we've already read verses 12 through 13, 15. Remember, 13 through 15. He's already says, I'm going to be fat and I'm going to be flourishing. I'm going to be healthy and I'm going to be vital. I'm going to bloom like the palm tree. And I'm going to be strong like the cedars in Lebanon. He's already saying, I'm going to get the victory. I'm going to make it through this. I'm going to make it through this season of weariness, of downness, of heaviness. But how is he going to make it through? If you go throughout the scriptures, and I'm not going to go deep into this, but when you read about the oil, many times it is a picture of the Holy Spirit. It is a metaphor for the person of the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, 100% God. And over 200 times oil is mentioned in the Bible. And most of the time it's as a metaphor for the Spirit, not every time. But see, if you look over in the parable of the 10 virgins, or the 10 bridesmaids at the Galilean wedding over in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. You'll see that 5 bridesmaids had their lamp, and they had it full of oil. The other 5 bridesmaids, they had their lamps, but they had no oil. And at the end of it all, the 5 bridesmaids who had their oil in their lamps, they made it to the wedding feast. But the 5 who did not were locked out. You see, it didn't matter that they were apart of the bridal group. They still didn't make it in. That's just like today. Many a good person is around and a part of church life. But without the person of the Holy Spirit, there is no true salvation. If you look over, it says about Christ over in Isaiah 61:1 and Luke 4:18, it says he was anointed to preach the gospel to heal the brokenhearted and set prisoners free. The picture there, the anointing, is that of the anointing of the oil that flows, or how the Holy Spirit flows upon and through we as believers. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and Ephesians chapter 8, verse 18, as believers we are told to be filled with the person of the Holy Spirit, just as the lamps of old, and even some of the old Coleman lanterns today, have to be filled with oil or with gas. As believers, on the day that Jesus Christ became our Lord and Savior, we were filled and sealed by the person of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says, the Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. That's one of those evidences that He lives inside. If anybody moves into your house, you're going to know it before too long. Same thing with the person of the Holy Spirit. When He moves in, He brings new life, new ways, new thoughts, and a new being is what it tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says this, and don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by Him for the day of redemption. So praise God, if you've been saved, if the Holy Spirit lives within you, then Jesus has you. You can't give it back. You can't throw it back. You can't lose it. You can't do it. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. But I want you to listen to what He says there about the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. He says, don't grieve it. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. The word grieve means to cause sorrow, despair, and hurt. Meaning that when you say something cutting to your spouse, you say something out of the way and you really didn't mean it, but it hurt their feelings. Is the relationship over? No. You're still married, but guess what? Separation is there. You're not close. You're not as united as you was. There has to be some healing. Baby, I'm sorry that I said that. I'm sorry that I didn't notice such and such. You see, there's that separation. There was hurt caused there. And we as believers, though we don't lose our salvation, we can offend and hurt the Holy Spirit by sin in our life, by rejecting what God wants us to do, by not living by the Word of God, and then also just ignoring and not giving God the praise that He's worthy of. Remember what He said over in when He was talking to the woman at the well. Like I prayed this morning, God is seeking for those that will worship Him in truth and those that will worship Him in spirit. Do you know what? Unless you've been born again by the Holy Spirit, you can't worship God. It's impossible for you to worship God, because you don't have the Spirit there to worship God. Listen, over in 2 Peter, I think it is, it talks about Lot, you know, over in Sodom and Gomorrah. And it said that he vexed his righteous soul when he lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, meaning that he tormented and mistreated and wounded the goodness that was living inside of him. How did he do it? Well, he was living in sinfulness. He was living in ungodliness. It says that his conversations began to be more like their conversations. The way that he was living was more like them. But I'm going to tell you this, this system around us, this worldly system, every bit of it is set up to draw us away from God. And even Jesus, think about this, even Jesus told the apostles in the upper room, He says, you don't need to be washed all over, but walking on the streets of this city, you get dirt on your feet. Folks, I don't care who you are, how close to God you are, every day we sin. Every day we do something that is ungodly. And we need to every day confess our sins and come back to Jesus and be made right. And all of us today, well, you may not be feeling the weight of the division, of the violence and of the pandemic, and you may not be getting tired physically, emotionally, or spiritually, but I tell you what, if you're a Christian, all of us could use a good dose of fresh oil today. All of us need the freshness, the vitality, and the power of the Holy Spirit every day new in our life, fresh as the Bible says. All of us. But I quickly, in closing, I want you to hear what the oil was used for in the Bible and how in the same areas of our life we need this fresh oil. Look what it says. It said the oil was a picture of fuel and of power. As I said over in Matthew 25, the 10 virgins. Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. But the foolish one said to the sensible ones, "Give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." You see today, if we're going to live for Jesus, if we're going to have the power, and we're going to see God change this country, if we're going to see a revival or a great awakening, the Bible says it must begin at the house of God. And if it's going to begin at the house of God, then we on individual basis need to have the fresh fire and power of the Holy Spirit burning within us. Also, it was used as a medicine or for healing. Fresh oil. Luke chapter 10 verse 34. Remember the good Samaritan. He went over to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on olive oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Yes, the Holy Spirit brings healing and forgiveness of past sins, but also it brings forgiveness and comforts us on our daily sins. Also, in this time of division and all that's going on, it helps bring unity back to those that we may be separated with. Literally, we had one person that we're close to, if I called their name, one of their best friends is now divided over them because of a political party. We need the healing that comes along with fresh oil. We also need the protection that comes from fresh oil. Oil was also used as protection from the heat, sun, and other elements. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 8, it says, "Let your clothes be whited all the time, and never let oil be lacking on your head." Just like we use suntan lotion and different things like that, the oil in the Old Testament would be used to keep sunburn and chapped lips and all that stuff. Today, we live in a world that's out to kill us. We have an enemy that's ready to devour us. We need some fresh oil today in our life so that we will be protected from all that's around us seeking to do us in. Also, oil was used to set aside people for special service. You see it when Saul was anointed king. You see it when David was anointed king. If you look back over at the priesthood and Aaron, they were anointed with the oil. You see, that's what the Holy Spirit did on when the day that we got saved. It set us apart as a children of God. But many of us today ask, well, how much like the world can I be like and still be saved when we should be wanting to look so much different from the world, act different, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. It empowers us. That fresh oil gives us the ability to live a separated life. And I want to tell you this. I think peer pressure is about as bad for adults anymore as it is for children in school. To conform, to look like, to let your children do certain things, to be and don't be so a holy roller or anything like that. I tell you, the pressure to conform is as great as it's ever been, including in adults in the society in which we live in. But also, it was given to sheep and the livestock to keep them from the pests around them. You know this one, Psalms 23, verse 5, it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemy, and thou anointest my head with oil." Now, I knew some of these. They had these things called certain types of flies, and the flies would pester the sheep all day, and it would go up their nose, and it would lay eggs in their nose, and then the parasite would get into their nose, and it could cause infection, it could kill them, it can even ruin the meat, or it can ruin the milk. And so what they would do is they would take and they would anoint that thing with oil, and that would keep them flies from being there. You know what a name for the devil is other than Satan? You ever heard the name Beelzebub? You know what that means? Lord of the flies. Lord of the flies. You see, we need that oil, fresh oil on us today to keep the enemy at bay, to hold him back. Oh, he can't take our souls. No, that's already been given. But he sure can pester us. He sure can bother us. But you know what else they do? Sometimes in mating season, them rams, you know, they would get their own goats. They had them horns and they'd want to butt heads together. It also helped keep them protected from healing from that. It's just amazing what the oil can do. Soldiers and warriors, they would take their shields and they would anoint their shields with oil. Isaiah 21:5, prepare a table and spread out the carpet. Eat and drink. Rise up, you princes, and all your shields. Now, there were two different types of shields. There was the one shield that, you know, we see it, the brass or the silver. If you oil it up, it's going to be real shiny and all that. But the most common one was a big square or oval type of shield. And it would be made of wood. And then on the outside of it, it would have oil. And you'd take and you'd anoint that oil. And what that oil would do on that shield, if somebody come at you with a glance and a blow, it would make it shoot aside or do it like that. But also, you think about when they'd shoot the fiery darts and it would hit on them, it would help quench the fire. The Bible teaches us we're in warfare from daylight to dark. Praise God, we need that anointing, fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit to keep us safe. And then the last one is this. There's a lot more, but I'm going to stop with this one. The oil played a specific role in sacrifices and offerings to God. Leviticus chapter 2, verses 15 through 16. You are to put oil and frankincense on it. It is a grain offering. The priest will then burn some of its crushed kernels and oil with all its frankincense as a fire offered to the Lord. What did Paul say over in Romans chapter 12, verse 1? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Don't you want to present to God your life usable? I don't know what you can use me for, Lord, but if you'll take it, I'm here today. The only way He's going to take it is if we have that anointing of the Holy Spirit. Oh, brothers and sisters, there are many reasons why today, as a church and as individuals, we need that fresh anointing. We need that fresh breath of the Holy Spirit. We need that fresh fire burning within us. As Christians and human beings, we're tired. We need to be revived as a church. Our country needs a great awakening that only can be brought by a great breath of heaven. We need godly wisdom on how to minister and maneuver in the society in which we find ourselves. And our heavenly shepherd, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has promised us, I will revive you again. I will anoint you with fresh oil. But are we seeking that fresh oil? Are we seeking that reviving? Are we wanted to be lifted up? Some people enjoy being down and poor, poor, pitiful men. How can we today seek for that fresh oil? How can we be in a place for that fresh anointing? One thing is this. Praise God, we need to start making a place every day at least once. A substantial, maybe 5-10 minutes. But those 5-10 minutes, you're going to give it to Him. And you're going to give thanks to Him. You're going to declare publicly what He's done. You're going to talk about His unchanging, unmoving, and unending love. You're going to declare how He's never failed and never let you down. You're simply going to get caught up in the act of praise, which means I'm going to get caught up in worshiping the Lord. I'm going to tell you something else too as well. You need to be committed to fellowship with your brothers and sisters. God has given us one another to help us through this time. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. And let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not to staying away from our worship meetings as some habitually do, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see that day approaching. I know some people don't feel comfortable in this society, but we're doing our best right now to provide you with Facebook, parking lot where you can control your own environment. We're going to do our best whether you can wear a mask medically or not. We're going to try to have a place for you. And praise God, we want you to flourish in this time. But more importantly, Jesus wants you to grow in the midst of this. And then the last thing is this. Trust Him. Give Him praise and worship. Be united with your brothers and sisters. And even though we cannot understand His magnificent ways, even though His thoughts are deeper and more intellectual than ours, we're going to say, I trust you enough that you were willing to die for me, then I can trust you enough with whatever's going on. I want to read those last three verses in closing. The righteous thrive like a palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they thrive in the courts of God. They will bear fruit in their old age. They will be fat and flourishing. They will be healthy and vital to declare that the Lord is just. He is my rock, and in Him there is no unrighteousness. Folks, we can grow. Not only in this season can we grow, I believe that we can flourish if we'll receive the fresh anointing, if we'll simply allow the Holy Spirit to be in our lives and be in control in our lives. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you feel that the Spirit moving you, convicting you of sin today, all you simply have to do is say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've broken your rules, and I want to live my life for you." Really, it's not the words that you pray. It's the heart that you pray it with. But if you do it, I ask you to get a hold of us, and I would like to have contact with you. Maybe you're backslidden a little bit. The Bible says Jesus hadn't moved. Matter of fact, if we're faithful to confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But you may be the greatest Christian in the world. But I tell you, every one of us could use a little bit of fresh oil, a fresh breath from the Holy Spirit in our life. God bless you. I love you. We'll see you tonight on Facebook. Bye-bye.